Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
I've entitled the message, A Word to a Doubting Disciple. Now let's begin reading in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now this is John the Baptist speaking. He is in prison. He had had a very active prophetic ministry, used greatly of God, and he's thrown in prison. He was thrown in prison by Herod. He had confronted Herod over his wrong relationship. He said, it's not lawful for thee to have her, concerning the woman to whom he was married. And he was thrown in prison. I don't know how long he had been in prison, but what would go through your mind if you were in a jail cell, stuck, couldn't go anywhere? Now, while he is in prison, he's hearing about this Christ whom he knew. And I don't know what caused him to ask this question, but he did send two disciples this question. He didn't seem certain anymore. In spite of all of his experience, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? Now, the entire Old Testament can be summarized by this statement, he that should come. That's what the whole Old Testament is about, he that should come. Micah chapter 5, this is talking about the birth of Christ, concerning his birth. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth to me that is to be ruler in Israel. His going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. Now here we have a prophecy concerning him that should come, the everlasting one. Isaiah 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His virgin birth prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the holy virgin shall be with child, speaking of him who should come. He promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, as the seed of woman who bruise, crush, the serpent's head. Someone come. He that should come. That's what the whole Old Testament is about. Isaiah speak of him as the one who coming would be as a despised man. Despised, rejected. Again, this is the one who's going to come. The one who is the Lamb slain, the foundation of the world, is going to come in time to be the Lamb slain, the Savior of his people. In that should come. Now, John the Baptist was foretold in the Old Testament. You know, he's the only person other than Christ whose coming is foretold in the Old Testament. Malachi 3:1 says, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Now, he came to prepare the way of Christ. It was called the forerunner of Christ. And there's so many interesting things about John the Baptist. He's the one whom the Lord said of which are born of women, there is risen none greater than John the Baptist. This is the Lord speaking of his servant. When he was born, or before he was born, when he was in his mother's womb, the scripture said he was filled with the Holy Ghost from the womb. When his mother heard Mary, mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a cousin of Christ, and when she heard Mary say a child being born unto her, John leapt in the womb. Now, he knew Christ. It was John who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." John was the one who baptized him and was a witness to the Holy Ghost descending like dove on the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew who Christ was. Now, what is all this about? Him saying, "Art thou he that should come?" He knew, didn't he? How could he ask such a question? I heard people say when he sent those two, he was doing it for their benefit. He knew who he was, and he was trying to show these men he is in the Christ. I don't mean that per se. John was doubting. Somebody says, "How could he do something like that?" Well, same way me and you could do something like that. John was a man. John was a sinful man. John, like every other believer, had two natures, a holy nature given to him in new birth, and he still had a sinful nature. And those two natures can only be described by that man who had the demon-possessed son. And the Lord said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And he said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." If you're a believer, you have a new nature that believes. It does what it could not do before. It believes. But you have an old nature that always has to cry out, "Help thou mine unbelief." The old nature never believes. Now, John the Baptist is special and gracious and blessed by God as this man was. He was still a man. He was still a sinful man, subject to all the infirmities of flesh. And I don't know what all was going on in his mind when he was in that prison cell. But he does come with this question: "Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another?" Now I want us to see how the Lord deals with his disciple, his doubting disciple. We read in verse 4, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see." John needed to hear again. He needed to hear again. And you and I need to hear the gospel over and over and over. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the Lord said, "You go tell John again the things which you've heard and seen." And then he mentions six miracles that took place that John was to be returned to from his two disciples. And they were going to tell him about these six miracles that they had heard and seen. He said in verse 5, "The blind received their sight." People who were stone blind were made to see. "And the lame walk." Perhaps someone would be a paraplegic. Maybe his spine had been snapped and he lost all ability to even move his legs. And the Lord could say, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And that's exactly what would happen. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. People filled with leprosy, dying of leprosy. The leper came to the Lord and said, "If you will, you can make me clean." clean? And the Lord replied, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And we read where the deaf hear, those who could not hear are made to hear. The scripture says regarding him, he maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. You go tell John about this. And the dead are raised. Do you know on at least three different occasions the Lord actually raised somebody from the dead? You remember the little girl, perhaps the flush was still in her cheeks. She just died and he came and said, arise, and she arose. And there was a young man during the funeral procession. He was already in his coffin and his mother was weeping. And the Lord came and touched the coffin and said, young man, I say unto thee, arise, and he arose. And then there's Lazarus. He'd been dead for 4 days. The process of decay had strongly coming in. He'd already began to stink. And Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. The dead are raised. And to the poor, those who have no resources, those who have nothing to bring to the table, to the poor, the gospel is preached. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, here we are given, first of all, the state of the natural man. Now somebody says, what do you mean by natural man? I'm talking about the way me and you were born. That's what I'm talking about, the natural man. The way we came into this world. We were all born just like this. As a result of Adam's fall, we share in his sinful fallen nature and were born blind. Not physically blind, but spiritually blind. We're unable to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're unable to see our need of him. We're unable to see ourselves. We don't see ourselves as sinful as we really are. We have completely false views of ourselves. Spiritually blind, cannot see the gospel. We are spiritually lame. We can't walk in God's commandments. We're lame. We can't get to Christ. We can't come to Christ. We're lame. There's no way the natural man can come to the Lord Jesus Christ because he's spiritually lame. And then we're lepers, the great type of sin. If you want to understand why the Bible says so much about leprosy, well, leprosy is the great type of sin in the Scripture. And we're completely filled with leprosy, sin. And then deaf. The natural man cannot hear the gospel. Oh, he can hear audibly, but he can't hear the gospel with understanding. You see, he has no true point of reference. He has no true knowledge of God. He has no true knowledge of sin. And when the gospel comes, it doesn't come as good news to him. It might irritate him. He might not like it. He disagrees. He's deaf. He can't hear the gospel. You and I cannot hear unless God gives us ears to hear. Now, you can hear audibly, but as far as hearing with hearing ears, where you rejoice in what's being heard, where you believe what's being heard, where you see this is who God is, this is who you are, this is how God saves. You can't do that unless God gives you hearing ears. I can't do it unless God gives me hearing ears. The dead are raised. Well, dead in sins. Born into this world, dead in trespasses and sins. Remember when God said to Adam, in the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die? Well, he didn't die physically on that day, but he died spiritually. He lost his relationship with God. He lost his love for God. He became spiritually dead. What can a dead man do to save himself? Absolutely nothing. You were dead. And the poor. Naturally, I'm poor. I don't have anything to bring to the table. I don't have anything to bring to God. I am poor, and there's nothing I can do about it. That is me. I got nothing to bring to the table. Neither do you. Now, that is the state of the natural man, blind, lame, a leper, deaf, dead, and poor. Now, what does the Lord say? Go show in John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. I'm given eyes to see. The Lord said, for judgment have I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now, someone who says, I can't see why God would ever have anything to do with me. I can't see why He'd save me. I can't see why He'd forgive me. I can't see why He would accept me. I'm a sinful individual. I can't see why God would have anything to do with me. That person is given sight to see. He does so for Christ's sake. He accepts you for Christ's sake. He saves you for Christ's sake. He forgives you of your sins for Christ's sake. And you're made to see that everything God does, He does for Christ's sake. And you're made to see that your acceptance is for Christ's sake. And you can see why God saves you for Christ's sake. You're given eyes to see His beauty. You're given eyes to see His sufficiency. You're given eyes to see His righteousness as the only righteousness you need. You're given eyes to see the power of His precious blood. You're given eyes to see your own sinfulness and your need of Him. The blind receive their sight. And the lame walk. Now, that is speaking of you're so lame that you can't walk in God's commandments. Well, when God saves you, He gives you grace to walk in the commandment of the gospel, believing on His Son and loving one another as He gave His commandment. And I think the main idea of the lame walking is walk has to do with getting from one place to another. You're made to come to Christ. You were lame before He saved you to where you couldn't get to Him. The Lord did say, no man can come to Me except it were given him of My Father, except he is drawn by the Father. And when the Father draws you, you get up and walk and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to Him for all things. The lame walk. And the next thing He says is the lepers are cleansed. Now, I think it's very interesting in Leviticus chapter 12 and 13, you're given the laws concerning the cleansing of the leper. And if a leper came to the high priest to be pronounced to be clean and get out of the leper colony, if he had 1 square inch of healthy flesh, he was sent back to the leper colony. It was only when he came full of leprosy that the priest would pronounce him clean. And the only way you and I are going to be cleansed is if we come full of sin. There's nothing there but sin. No healthy flesh, no righteousness, no goodness, nothing but sin. You come to Christ full of leprosy, and you will be clean. That leper said, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, said, I will. Be thou clean. And the deaf hear. This is what happens when God saves somebody. The deaf hear. There was a time when you didn't even have ears to hear. You didn't care. But now you do. You hear the gospel as good news. Blessed are they that know the joyful sound. You hear Christ preached in the preaching of the gospel. You are made to worship hearing the gospel. You rejoice in what you're hearing when you're given ears to hear. The deaf hear. And the dead are raised. You see, when God saves you, He raises you from the dead. He gives you spiritual life. You're given a life that you did not have before. The only reason you believe is because you have spiritual life. The only reason you repent is because you have spiritual life. You've been birthed from above. The dead hear. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. You've got spiritual life, a life that was not there before. To the poor, those who have nothing to recommend them, the gospel is preached. Here it is, Christ Jesus. Listen to this scripture from 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Everybody ought to rejoice in this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul said, I am the chief. Did he come to save me? Are you a sinner? Yes, I am. Then he came to save you. Are you a sinner? No, I'm not. Then he didn't come to save you. He only came to save sinners. And bless God, that's exactly what he did when he said, it is finished. Everybody he came for, every sinner he came to save, he saved. And you hear this. You know you have nothing to bring to the table. You're poor. And you find out, I don't have to have anything. He did it all. There's nothing I need to contribute. He did it all. Now he says to John, you go tell John again the things that you see and hear. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And then in verse 6, he makes this statement, and blessed is he. Oh, how blessed of God is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now here's the blessed man, the man who is not offended in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, natural men are not offended by a false Christ because they have control over him. As long as you have any control over Christ, you don't really believe in the true Christ. You believe in a false Christ. But natural men, when they hear of the true Christ, they are offended. Now, a Christ that doesn't offend the natural man is not the Christ of the Bible. The natural man is offended by Christ, and men were and are offended by Christ. You know, when Isaiah tells us what we think of him in Isaiah 53, it says, we esteemed him not. We esteemed him not. We didn't see any glory in him. He's despised and rejected of men. When our Lord walked upon this earth, men were offended at his birth. Why? This is the carpenter's son. They were offended at his education. How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? They were offended by his lifestyle. He's a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. They were offended at his associates. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. They were offended at his preaching, most especially his claims concerning himself in his preaching. In John chapter 6, we read in verse 59, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they'd heard, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? This is difficult. This is harsh. We don't like this. This is a hard saying, referring to his sermon that he preached in John chapter 6. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said, doth this offend you? Are you offended by what you just heard? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? When you see me ascend back to the Father and sit at his right hand as absolute Lord, you're offended now, you'll really be offended then. And then he said in verse 63, it's the Spirit that quickens, that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. In this thing of life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now in this chapter, I wish I had time to deal with it. But in this chapter, John chapter 6, you can read it for yourself. He dealt with faith alone. He dealt with election, God's choice of his people before time began. He dealt with His effectual redemption. He died for those the Father gave Him. He died for the elect. He didn't die for all men. He died only for the elect. He dealt with total depravity, how no man can come except it were given him of the Father. He dealt with irresistible grace. Every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. He dealt with what is known as the doctrine of grace, and men were offended. Men were offended. They didn't like this. They said, who can be expected to hear such things as this? Now, why are men offended? Well, because they see no need of Christ. They see no glory in His person. But I want us to notice this phrase, blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. In me. Not just by me, but in me. Now, in Christ is all of God's salvation. It's not in you. It's not in your works. It's not in your experience. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in a body, and you are complete in Him. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now men are offended in that. Do you mean to say that all God requires is Christ? All God requires, He provides in Christ. All of God's salvation is in Christ, and it has nothing to do with my works. Is that what you're saying? Why, that's scandalous. That will lead people to a life of sin. That is offensive. Well, Paul did speak of the offense of the cross, didn't he? And Christ crucified is to the Jews a stumbling block and a rock of offense. Men are offended in Christ. But oh, how blessed that man is who is not offended in Him. You see, my only hope of salvation, and my sure hope of salvation, and all of my hope of salvation is by being found in Him. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Now, blessed is that man. You go tell John. Blessed is that man, whosoever he is, that is not offended in me. What a word to a doubting disciple. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niebuhr praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer.
'Tis not that I did choose Thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.